Well over 12, 15 years ago, this lesson was shared here. Now, not all the things that I'll be saying today were shared in that lesson then. But there are some very important truths that will be of help to us if they are kept in mind. Could we have the passage read again? Exodus chapter 10, verse 21 through 26.
And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw no one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings.
What a miracle. Darkness over all Jamaica for 3 days, but only the Christian have light. Read on, brother.
And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us all sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a
wait, take time with that, brother, because the whole lesson surrounds that phrase. Read that now.
Our cattle also shall go with us.
Mm-hmm.
There shall not an hoof be left behind.
There shall not a hoof, that is the cow foot, left behind.
For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know
wait,
not.
Wait. We must take our cattle to serve the Lord. There's a lot of lesson in this for Christian. Read on, brother.
And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither.
In other words, without the cattle, we don't know what we're going to use to serve God. Not a hoof shall be left behind. The Almighty God will not compromise or negotiate with man beyond what he did at Calvary. I repeat, you see, what you have here is that when the terrible effect of the plague hit Pharaoh and the Egyptian, in this case, the darkness that could be felt, and Pharaoh hurriedly sent for Moses and told him that you, the Israelite, can go. But look here, leave your cattle. You see, the material things must be left. What Pharaoh was actually doing is wanting to negotiate with God. In other words, the Almighty God wanted the Israelites and their cattle to leave Egypt. God, more than Moses, knew how necessary these cattle were for serving God. Let me just drop right along here since I'm passing that area. The cattle would be playing an important part for sacrifice. That is worship. And God does not compromise on that. The Israelite, well, at least Moses, was well aware enough to know that without sacrificing to God, you cannot serve him. Pharaoh wants some compromise, some negotiation. But ladies and gentlemen, God's final word to Pharaoh through Moses, as I said, that phrase, not a hoof shall be left behind. That contain a lot of lesson and warning to you and me. To soften Pharaoh's heart and to bring him to his senses, the Almighty God sent many plagues. These plagues were meant to bring some sense, common sense, to Pharaoh to help him understand that he cannot fight with God and come out the winner. That's a lesson we need to understand too. The Almighty God sent or turned the water into blood. The Almighty God sent plagues of frogs and flies and lice. All these the Almighty God sent after Pharaoh vow that he will not permit the Israelite to go and worship the Almighty God. Stay with me in the book of Genesis, in book of Exodus. Look at chapter 7 and verse 14. Chapter 7 and verse 14.
And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go.
Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refused to let the people go. Are we there? After the plagues of flies, Pharaoh suggested that they could sacrifice to their God, but they should do so within Egypt. Wait, let me just drop by here. It is interesting to note, when the Almighty God asked Abraham to offer his son Isaac, the Almighty God didn't ask Abraham to do it right a yard. He asks Abraham to leave home. You see, there are a lot of things. In fact, let me put it like this first. We need to get away from homely distraction when we are worshiping God. There are a lot of distraction that can get to us at home. And therefore, the Almighty God asks Abraham to leave home. Here again, the Almighty God had through Moses pointed out to Pharaoh that the Israelite, in order to worship him, needed to leave Egypt. Pharaoh wanted them to stay in Egypt and worship God. Look at chapter 8, verse, same Exodus 25 and 26.
For Moses and for Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And said,
mm-hmm.
Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do.
It is not, wait. Sacrifice, worship God in the land. That is in Egypt. Moses, God's spokesman, said, it is not convenient for us to worship God in Egypt. Do you know that there are some places it's not appropriate to worship God? In fact, even in some so-called churches. Wait. Where worship becomes entertainment for the worshiper, it's not convenient to worship God in that environment. Wait. Where you and I have to have our piano and our organ. Because the piano and the organ was never introduced into New Testament worship to please God. The consideration with the piano, the organ, and the guitar is always the worshiper. And whenever you see, there is what we call conflict of interest there. The conflict of interest is where you come to worship, but you want to satisfy yourself. You want to satisfy God at the same time and satisfy yourself at the same time. The Almighty God says that cannot be. When we set out to worship God, it must God and God alone. Pharaoh wanted them to remain in Egypt to worship God. Moses said it's not convenient, and I believe he's going to tell the reason. I told you to read verse 25 and 20 through 26.
For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God.
That's right. In effect, let me cut that up for you. What he's saying, that the way we worship our God, the true God, going to be a problem for the Egyptian by whom we are surrounded. Read on a little further, brother.
Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us?
They will do what?
Stone us.
Stone? That's right. That means they'll kill us. You see, there are certain things that the Egyptian in their idolatrous worship, they worship idol. If the Israelite worship God the way God wants them to worship, wanted them to worship, this would become a problem for the Egyptian. And the Egyptian would turn down and stone the Israelite. Moses well knew that. Moses was a prince in Egypt. He was well aware of the thinking of the Egyptian. The Almighty God, more than Moses, was well aware of that. And we have had a lesson on Wednesday night some time ago. We were pointed, the question was asked, while the Israelites were in Egypt as slaves, were they God's people? And I said, in plan and purpose, they were God's people. But in reality, they were not, because they could not worship God the way they ought to. They could not give worship to Almighty God the way they ought to. But get this. You cannot be a child of God and don't give God worship. We need to learn that. You cannot. And those of us who are reluctant to come to worship and we come up with all sorts of excuses and We are so busy and we can do it at home. Wake up. Cooperate worship, congregational worship is God's will. That's right. So, Pharaoh wants to negotiate with God. But God had in Moses a good spokesman. Because Moses is laying it down here. Why? We cannot stay here. But you know, we have seen Pharaoh's motive already. Pharaoh's motive is to keep the cattle in Egypt. That's right. Because cattle has always been a form of wealth. And it was farming and cattle rearing was the main source, of course, along with gold, of wealth in those times. Pharaoh here wanted to negotiate with God. I've said already and say again. At Calvary, the Almighty God, for us living the side of the cross, God had done all the negotiation that he was going to do with man. Not only at Calvary, but before Calvary. When God made a decision, it was not a bilateral decision. It was always a unilateral decision. In our times of politics, we hear a lot about unilateral and bilateral agreement. A unilateral agreement is that we're one country, so we are going to do this, and that's what going to be. A bilateral agreement is where two countries, or three, or four, or 10, or 20 countries come together and negotiate and come to an agreement. So the agreement is not that of one country. It's that of the combined 5, 10, or 15 countries. That is bilateral. God does not make bilateral agreement. Ooh, especially when it comes to sin and our salvation. God does not make bilateral agreement. Our sin offends God and creates danger with God for us. God is the only one in the position to tell us how to deal with our sin. Because dealing with our sin, you have to address God's holy nature. You have to address God's will, God's purpose. Only the Almighty God in the position to tell us how to do that. So don't ever try to negotiate with God. The Almighty God has already made the unilateral decision how men and women must benefit from the blood of Jesus Christ. Just like the Almighty God is telling Pharaoh how he wanted his people, the Israelites, to leave so that they could give him the worship. Moses, as seen here, refused Pharaoh's offer. You had read verse 26, brother. That is more, Pharaoh's offer is to stay in Egypt. Moses refused Pharaoh's offer. Pharaoh then suggested that if they go, they should not go far away. Wait, he did not even recognize that Moses was only an agent through whom God was speaking. You see, a lot of time we have a problem with that. When any man come teaching you God's truth, and it is in fact God's truth, you're not contending with the teacher or preacher. You're dealing with God. If what he's preaching is God's pure truth. Pharaoh didn't see God or acknowledge God. He saw Moses as a mere man. Pharaoh then suggested, yes, you can go, but you should not go far away. Verse 28, same chapter 8.
And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord.
What you need to notice, you know, Pharaoh had just told them that they should worship God within Egypt. Moses said, we can't do that. Pharaoh, being a negotiator, just like many sinners today, they want to negotiate with God. God stopped negotiating when he sent Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. So, being a negotiator, he said with Moses, okay, go then, but brother, 28.
That you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away.
Don't go far. That's what all country people say, far. Far. Don't go far. Are we all there? And this promise, Moses entreated God for Pharaoh. And this suggestion, Moses went back to his master, that is God. I like the, I know this is not good for Pharaoh, but I like Moses' approach. You know, Moses went back to God to see if God would meet Pharaoh partway. I imagine Moses well know that God's decision are unilateral. They are not bilateral. When God made them, he consult only his holy nature, his purpose, his will. What verse? Let us hear verse 29, brother.
And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go.
What he's saying, you know, I'm going to talk to God for you, Pharaoh, but you must start coming straight now. Pharaoh don't know how to come straight with God because he doesn't believe in God. If you are here today as an unbeliever, you have never become a Christian the right way, you need to develop genuine faith in God and God's word. That's right. But even after this, after Moses told Pharaoh, I'm going to consult God on your behalf, but learn to deal with God above board, straight. Again, I said, sometimes we have been so crooked all our lives that even dealing with God, we do not know to come straight. You know, that like as I've said more than once here, that Jamaican have so used to working brain. And the terrible thing about that is that we have come to think that brain working is smartness. It is idioticness. Some men and women are so used to working brain that even when it is in their best interest to come straight and tell the truth, They feel they must take a twist and turn and a lot of times undermine their own interests. Pharaoh didn't know how to come straight. Moses in verse 29 is encouraging him to come straight when dealing with God. But even after this, Pharaoh still hardened his heart. Verse 32.
And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go.
He hardened his heart and would not let the people go. Now, most negotiation call for compromise. That's right. You see? Wait. It seems Pharaoh wanted Moses and God to compromise, but Pharaoh would hold on sternly to his point. It's just like some men and women, when you throw them God's revelation. You must be baptized to be saved. They will be undermanned. I know I don't have to be baptized. That I know come from Satan. It cannot come from God. And what you are in effect saying, if any compromising must be done about my getting baptized, it must be God who compromised. I'm not going to. You are crazy if you think like that. Verse 32, brother.
And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go.
May I? Pharaoh, like so many men and women today, thinking that God will negotiate and compromise and that God will reduce his demands, suggested after the ninth plague. Did I say the ninth plague? Yes. Pharaoh, after the ninth plague, suggested that the cattle be left this time. Okay, we have been negotiating about whether the Israelites go or not. We can't meet any compromise there. Okay, you the Israelites can go. We have to work out another way to get cheap labor. But you can go. Verse 22 through 24, brother.
And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen.
Start again.
And I will...
Chapter 10, verse 22 through 24.
And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven. And there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt. 3 days.
Remember, that's the verse that was read in worship this morning as the part from which the lesson is taken. Yes, brother, read.
They saw not one another, neither rose any...
Wait, this was not a normal darkness. And this should help us understand the power of the Almighty God. This was not a normal darkness. For many things, the time span that the darkness prevailed was some 3 days or 3 nights. That's unusual. Not only that, the darkness could be felt. It was like something tangible. Read, brother.
They saw not one another.
They could not see one another.
Neither rose any from his place.
That's right. lie. The bed that they lied on in for 3 days, they were here 3 nights. They couldn't get up. I mean, it was an unusual thing that God brought, but God is capable. Read on.
For 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings.
I like that. I like for Christian to understand that whatever you might be going through, whatever the challenges in your life, don't ever underestimate or shortchange the power of God. He has options, ways that you and I cannot even imagine. That in the same very land of Egypt, the Egyptian experience unusual darkness for 3 nights and day, and the Israelite had light. Whatever they go about, they had light. Huh? Is that possible? Yes. While it is day for me, God can make it night for you. What the song say, what a mighty God we serve. You need to cast lot with this God. Read on, brother.
And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord.
Go now and serve the Lord. Notice this too. There are so many things here. That every time the business come about the Israelite going away from Egypt, serving God was always a part of that. It's not just go and do your own selfish thing. Go ye and serve the Lord. Read on. We didn't hear that, brother. Wait, your mic is not working. Read.
Let your little ones.
It's working now.
Let your little ones also go with you.
Let your children also go with you. Watch here now. Watch. You know, some people, we are so smart that we're always outsmarting ourselves. Pharaoh said, you can go. And you know what? Your infant, the little pygmy, them can go with you. But watch here. Read, brother.
And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord.
Wait, there seems to have been, I thought there was a part there that says, but let your cattle.
Our cattle also shall go with us.
Oh, 24.
Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed.
That's right. Let your flocks and your herd remain in Egypt. Read.
Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said.
Moses said.
Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings.
Wait. You notice where the emphasis is here? It's important that you don't let this pass you. The cattle, the main object or objective or goal of wanting the cattle, that is Moses. It's not that we want it for food. It's going to serve that purpose too. But what is the main purpose that is just emphasized here? You have just read it. Read it again, brother.
Sacrifices and burnt offerings.
Sacrifices and burnt offerings. That's what we call worship. That's the emphasis. All this business about the cattle going, not going. Worshiping God with them is part of the important thing. Read on.
That we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God.
That we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Read on.
Our cattle shall also go with us. There shall not an hoof.
You know what I appreciate here to Moses' conviction. Moses with Pharaoh's great army. And I believe at this time, in the entire Middle East, Egypt was the dominant power at this time. It was about this time that the pyramids of Egypt were built. Moses, more than any of the Israelites, knew the power of the Egyptian. Yet Moses did not speak fearfully here or with timidity. Wait, Moses did not speak as if he was in a weaker position. I love that. He did not come say, well, Pharaoh, we're glad you have allowed us now to go. We are asking if you could just let the cattle go too. Can you please? No. Listen how positive Moses was.
Our cattle shall go with us.
Wait, our cattle shall go with us. Wait now. When you are telling men and women that they must be baptized to be saved, when you are telling men and women that Jesus Christ built one true church, don't talk like you're Freddy. Because that is the truth. When you are sharing God's truth, you must do it with confidence. Wait, not self-righteousness, but with confidence. Moses was not begging or negotiating with Pharaoh here. He said, our cattle will go with us. I love that, brother. Any more there?
There shall not an hoof.
Wait, we're leaving out the Moses. There shall not a cow foot left. Oh my God. Ladies and gentlemen, it is here that God gave his final word through Moses on the matter. No compromise, no negotiation. You have only steadfastness of God's word on Moses. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, 16 and 17. Hebrews chapter 6, 16 and 17. Let us hear it.
For men verily swear by the greater.
Mm-hmm.
And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife.
That's right. Read on.
Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise,
mm-hmm,
the immutability of his counsel.
The what?
The immutability.
Of his?
Of his counsel.
One of the meaning of the word counsel is determination, will, purpose. And what that passage in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 17 is telling us is that God's will and purpose, they are immutable, which means they will not change. God will not alter them. Whatever the gospel of Jesus Christ teaches for your salvation, my salvation, we need to submit to it gladly. I have to come down now to summing up and closing this lesson, even though we have just reached part of what I have prepared to share with you. There are many modern-day Pharaoh who are not satisfied with God's plan of salvation. They are not satisfied with Christ's church. They are not satisfied with New Testament worship. There are men and women today, religious men and women. They want to change all the spiritual things that God gives us. Is it how they should become a Christian? That is God's plan of salvation. Is it the church that Christ built? No, they want the church of their choice. Wait. Did you know that God has never given man any such thing? Wait, I need to say that again. I didn't hear you, Mr. Mitchell. The business about the church of your choice, The Almighty God did not give humanity a many church from which you can choose the one you like. It's important that we understand this. Jesus Christ built one true church. And the Bible teaches this in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Is it verse 4 and 5? 6, that in the same way there is one true God, there is one true body, which is the church. Wait. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and I think verse 9, somewhere there, the Bible speaks about the synagogue of what?
Satan.
You are right. What is a synagogue? It's a church. The synagogue of Satan. Wait, brother, some people not believe that it's there. Read it quick for me. I think it's Revelation chapter 2. If my memory serves me right, it's supposed to be around verse 9.
I know thy works.
I know thy works.
And tribulation.
I know your tribulation. Wait. He's speaking now to the true church. Which congregation is it? Let us see which one are they. Well, go on anyway. Go on.
And poverty. But now art rich.
You are rich.
And I know the blasphemy of
them. Wait, take time with me, dear. I know the blasphemy of
them.
Them?
Which say they are Jews.
Wait. You know, I have a lesson based on the fact that the true church is not just a claim or a name. Say that again, Brother Mitchell. Thank you for asking me. The true church is not just a claim or a name. We can't claim anything. The true church of Christ has identifying marks. Here is a church. Read that little part for me again, brother. Which, if I continue asking you to read little part, this lesson will last until tonight. And I need to close. Read it for me.
Which say they are Jews.
I know
the blasphemy.
The blasphemy
of them.
Of them.
Which say they are Jews.
They say they are Jews. Wait, they are claiming to be God's people. What? Watch here.
And are not.
They are not. It's not just a claim. Read on now.
But are the synagogue of Satan. But are the synagogue of Satan.
Say it again now.
The synagogue of Satan.
You all hear that? They are the church of Satan. But they didn't think so, you know. They think they were God's people. So what we are saying, brothers and sisters, there are a lot of people today who are not just like Pharaoh. They are not satisfied with God's plan of salvation. They are not satisfied with the one true church Christ built. They are not satisfied with worship. Worship for them have to be entertainment. They want to negotiate and want God to compromise and to meet them partway. But note Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. Quick, brother. Oh, Lord, so much to share. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. For if the word spoken by angel, brother, this is talk about the Old Testament. For if the word spoken by angel
was steadfast.
Wait. That means when the angel gave the Old Testament system to the Israelites, it was steadfast. Whatever it said came to pass. Not only was it steadfast, read on. And
every transgressor,
all those who showed disrespect for the Old Testament system, they were punished severely. Every transgressor received a just recompense of reward. Wait, Brother Mitchell, that sounds nice. Wait, but it's not nice what it is saying. When it says every transgressor receive a just a recompense of reward, that means all those who showed disrespect for the Old Testament system under which they live, they were punished severely. Every transgressor receive a just recompense of reward. Read on now.
How shall we escape?
How shall we escape?
If we neglect so great salvation.
Wait, take time. So great a salvation. So great a salvation. The inspired writer is speaking comparatively here. He's comparing the Old Testament system with the gospel. You and I are under the gospel. If men and women who showed disregard to the Old Testament law system, God punished them so severely. When you and I show disrespect and disregard and non-appreciation for the New Testament gospel of Christ, what type of punishment are we going to get? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation which at first began to be spoken by Jesus Christ himself? And it was confirmed unto whom? Unto us by them that hear him, God bearing them witness with sign and wonders. There's no escape for us from the wrath of God if we show disregard to the gospel of Christ. As I must close, the Almighty God did all the negotiation he's going to do with man at Calvary. At Calvary, the Almighty God made a plan, a sacrificial plan in Christ to get our sins dealt with on the terms laid down in the gospel of Christ. All you and I need to do is to respond to it positively through faith and obedience. I'm saying right here, while there's so much, I want to go in some detail in some other thing, but I must stop here. I'm saying here that if you're here today, one, if you're not a Christian, don't think that the Almighty God in any form or shape going to compromise what truth is revealed in the gospel of Christ. He's not going to compromise. You must have faith and be humble enough to come around to accepting God's word as God's word. In the same way the Almighty God through Moses served notice to Pharaoh that not even a hoof going to be left in Egypt. God was in those words through Moses saying to Pharaoh, the greatest dictator, monarch then. God was saying, there shall be no compromise. There shall be no softening of God's demand. You mean you can't even leave a cow hoof? No, not even that. The Bible says whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning. Come now. Give your life to Jesus Christ based on the gospel of Christ. Wherever in the world you go and find a true church of Christ, we are going to bring you the truth of the gospel of Christ. And to